I wanted to touch on the fact that it is 11:30, so I have zero time to do the sermon, but that's okay. I'm going to get in what God wants me to say. I wanted to start out with a little story. Last week, Kyle and I were in the back and discussing who was going to handle which week, because Jeff would be off. And so we decided I was going to do the first week, and he'll do next week. And I said to him, okay, so, or he said, I kind of have a sermon prepared. It's an outline form, which for me, that's good enough, but he wants to do a little more preparation. And I said, okay, well, what's it on? And he said, giving. I said, well, that's really interesting because my sermon was going to be on giving. And so we decided to do a tag team sermon. And this week I'm going to give you my perspective on some things, and then he's going to come up and fix everything that I say next week. And I wanted to just touch on the fact that when your pastor has to have emergency surgery and you're talking with the other person who's going to be filling in and you both have the same idea, well, you got to tend to take the hint from God that that's probably the topic that you should be talking about. So let's start with a word of prayer. God, we come before you today so grateful that you allow us to be here to look at your word and to just bask in your glory. I ask that you give me the words to say and that you put them on our hearts. And whatever's not from you, just let it go its own way. Amen. So I want to talk today about two aspects of giving. Or I did. I might have to cut the second aspect. We'll see. The first one is a few things that the Bible says about giving, and that's a very good place to start. And the second thing is a bit more off the deep end. It's a perspective that I always, well, not always, but recently have had. And it's something that I don't think a lot of people consider. So I want us to just take a quick look at it. Maybe it'll offer some perspective to some other people. So the first part on what the Bible says about giving. This sermon exists because a few weeks ago, my wife got an email from the United Methodist Communications Department, and it talked about reasons to offer electronic methods of giving or offering. There were 7 reasons, and some of them were very practical, but the one that led to the discussion was reason number 1, giving is biblically mandated. And so as Liang and I were driving along, and she was talking to me about it, she said it was kind of frustrating to her because, well, when your number 1 reason is you have to do it, it's sometimes hard to change people's hearts with that kind of a reason. And being the wonderful husband that I am, I immediately took the opposite point of view, started arguing with her, and said, well, there's a lot of good reasons why that's there. You know, a lot of people, that's where they are in their walk of life. You know, if the Bible says to do it, you do it, and that's going to get things done, and it's very practical and logical. And so we talked about it, and then I got home after I had taken her to work. We were at lunch, and it dawned on me that that wasn't quite probably the best approach. So I wrote her an email, and I said, first of all, I apologize for the fact that I wasn't more supportive, because here you were presenting this really deep thing, and I just went and took the opposite point of view. And so I did a little digging, and I started looking at what the Bible said about it, and so I presented that to her, and so now I present it to you. The Bible, when I looked up giving in the Bible, the vast majority of what I found was in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, there were there's a lot on giving, but there's not a lot on financial giving. And so there were only a few times that it touches on that, and I want to present those couple times. Jesus, at one point in Luke 11:42, is speaking with one of the Pharisees who has invited him over to his house for dinner. And Jesus doesn't wash his hands before dinner. And the Pharisee says, you know, what's wrong with you? And Jesus starts talking. He takes it beyond just washing your hands. And starts talking about, you know, inner cleanliness and things like that. And he says to the Pharisee, woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. In the Old Testament, it's pretty clear that the whole 10% thing, you know, 1 of every 10 animals went to God, 1 of every 10, pretty much anything, went to God. So there was this idea and this law of 10%. And so here Jesus addresses that, and he says, you did the right thing there. It, it, kind of puts it a little more criticism-wise, but he says, you're right. You should be giving that 10%, but you're missing the bigger picture here, and that's about the love of God. And so I continued looking, and when I was talking with Liang, I said, you know, I bet Paul had something to say on this, because Paul had something to say on everything. And sure enough, in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11, Paul says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Here, Paul introduces the concept of a cheerful giver versus giving under compulsion. And what's interesting here is that in spite of the long-standing law of 10% giving, Paul says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. And it does not talk at this point about that 10%. It talks about what's on your heart. And I think that's the point that Liang was making when she said she wasn't too thrilled with the idea of it's biblically mandated. God may put on your heart 10%. God may put on your heart 5%. God may put on your heart 100%. In Luke 18, we hear the story of the very wealthy ruler. And it says, a certain ruler asked him, Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have the treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. A lot of times this passage is misinterpreted and it is displayed in such a way that you should sell everything you have and give it away. But that was this person. That was what God was talking to this guy about, what he knew he needed in his heart. For this guy, it was going to take everything before he could get that heart to change. And I can't tell you what God's going to tell you to give personally. That's between you and him. But I would present this as almost a cautionary tale. If you hold on to it too much, he might ask you for all of it. But if you give up willingly and cheerfully, well, that's probably the better way to do it. And so I'll move on to that second part of second part I wanted to talk to you about, and that's a little bit of a bigger picture giving. The book of John begins with these verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Genesis also speaks of God's creation, how he speaks things into existence. Before there was nothing, and then there was light, and the universe, and the earth, and water, and sky, and everything else that we see around us today. And Jeff likes to mention that if before there was nothing but God, and then there were other things, those other things didn't come from nothing, which means that everything is a part of God. All the things around you are made up of atoms, and all those atoms are from God. And often when we, speaking specifically of financial giving, often when we, you know, have that $20 in our hands, we think of this piece of paper that's worth $20, and we kind of lose sight of the fact that deeper than that, this is a piece of paper that we have printed on and decided that it's worth something. And deeper than that, that piece of paper is made up of particular structures that are made up of countless number of atoms. And each and every single one of those atoms is part of God. And in museums, sometimes you see a little plaque under a painting, and it will say, on loan from the Mellon Collection, or on loan from the Carnegie Collection. And just speaking poetically, if you were to zoom in with a ridiculously powerful microscope, and you looked at an atom, I imagine there under that would be a little plaque that said, on loan from the God Collection. Because that is what it is. Everything that we have is on loan from him. It's going to go back to him one day. And the Bible's pretty clear that this doesn't last forever. So, you have the option of holding on to it as tightly as you can, and then he gets it back later. Or you have the option of giving it to him, whatever it is, because it's his anyway. And it makes him happy. You can make God happy just by deciding, I'm going to give you this now instead of just hanging on to it for later. So whatever is on your heart to give to God, that's up to you. But remember to do it cheerfully, because that makes God happy. And boy, what else can you do with your time and your money and your energy but make him happy? Amen.